For our scripture reading this morning, if you could take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the truth of this verse. Lord, we all face temptation. It's brought right before us every day, moment by moment. But in each and every one of those moments, you tell us and you give us the strength and you give us the grace to be able to defeat it, to turn from it, to run from it, to a way of escape. Father, we thank you for that, but we do know that that's a choice. It's a choice that we have to make in your strength and in your power. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it in the flesh. If we do it in the flesh, we're going to give in every time. Father, we need you this morning. We need you to speak to us. Just pray that each and every person that is here this morning, their heart would be open to exactly what it is you have for us. Father, fill Brother Ben Burks with the Holy Spirit this morning. Use him in a mighty way. Give him the words to say. And again, Lord, I just pray that we'd be just attentive, that we'd be focused, that our eyes would be on you. Lord, we need you in a mighty way this morning. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Today we are blessed to have Brother Ben Burks with us. Brother Burks has been training our workers for RU on Friday night and then yesterday morning, and we had some great training times together, and we're delighted that he could stay over and speak for us today. He is the international director of the RU, Reformers Unanimous, out of Rockford, Illinois, and God has used him in a mighty way. We're thankful that he can be here. Glad to have his cohort in crime over here, Cisco, and he's been a great blessing to Brother Burks and to the ministry as well. And so you listen carefully as Brother Burks comes and preaches to us.
Amen. Go back to 1 Corinthians if you can. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Brother Cisco, if you'll come up. I'm going to ask Brother Cisco each service to take just a couple of minutes and talk about one of the many aspects of RU, because so many times there's so much involved in the last 25 years that God has done through RU. And we thank God for it. And so I ask him to just share a few of those. And the first hour, he talked specifically about our RU Men's and Ladies School of Discipleship. If you know anybody stuck in addiction that is destroying their life, and they come to the end of that race, they come to the end where they've got huge decisions to make, maybe that is a good option. And I'm sure your director and your pastor can lead you in that as much as they've done already in the last 20 or 17 years. And we are so thankful for that. Well, Cisco, come with a second one, would you?
So this weekend, we've been learning more about RU and the different facets of the program, all the different branch ministries and arms of it. We've learned that RU is an outreach program, gives the gospel through the curriculum and through the program, works as a bridge to bring people into the local church, which is God's support group for those in recovery. And so it's an outreach ministry. It's also, you know, a recovery program. It's on the sign, addiction recovery program, RU recovery. But also, RU is a discipleship program. And just want to encourage everybody in the church to look at it through that lens as well. You know, salvation is the miracle of a moment, but discipleship is the process of a lifetime, us following Jesus and learning more about his word. And our core curriculum is all designed to study in depth Galatians chapter number 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And then there's a list of 9 different fruits there. And since doing this study on my own, you know, it really, really awoken me out of my discipleship journey, because so often I come to a decision in my life, and I think that more often than I want to admit, but thank you for preaching, I am wrong in the last Sunday school. More often than I want to admit, I think that it was the fruit of Cisco. It was my temper, it was my anger, it was my control, it was my decision, it was what I wanted to have, do, and be in that moment, rather than the fruit of the Spirit working in and through me. And so it's a great discipleship tool for anybody who wants to go to that next level in depth. And so there's no shame, there's no guilt. If even as a church member, you just want to come and go to that next level in your discipleship. And then also I think about, our world and what's going on. I think it was Pastor who prayed for revival, and we definitely need to see revival in these days. And how do we experience revival? It's through people finding and following Jesus. And so what does that process look like? It's discipleship. And so God could miraculously change, the world in an instant, but he's called us to go out and to preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. And so this is a great discipleship program, and this is really the nuts and bolts, the tools, the resources that God has given us to see transformation in our communities. And so we've got a lot of resources on the back table after the service this morning and then this evening if you'd like to swing by and check them out. Here's just a few of them. One of them is called the It's Personal Daily Journal. This is our number one resource. Every student who's gone through the RE recovery as a going through discipleship or gone through because of addiction, they'll tell you this is the number one resource that God used in their life to help cultivate a personal, dynamic love relationship with Jesus Christ. And so there's five forms of communication, and if you have any questions about that, I'd love to talk to you about it more after the service. And then we have many topical books back there. There's several resources on bitterness and forgiveness. Last hour we talked about biblical meditation and self-destruction. Here are three resources written by Wendy Berks. And it's a series called Victim or Victorious, The Miraculous Journeys of Seven Women. In each of these books, it's kind of an autobiographical sketch of ladies who, by faith, followed the Lord in their discipleship journey, where the world would have said they were victims because of the outside pressures of life. But they tapped into the inward persuasion of the Holy Spirit, and through the Spirit-filled life, they were more than conquerors. And so there's a lot of resources on the table to be an encouragement to you or maybe a loved one that you're praying for. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Cisco. Friday night, we talked about Jesus, and we talked about him being the way of escape. We started the series that will conclude tonight, because we think that Jesus is the answer for everything. Amen? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The verse that we read this morning simply says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there had no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I think there's enough proof in the Bible to realize that way is Jesus Christ. It's an article. A is the same as the way of escape. Jesus said, I am the way. I think I'm going to prove to you today through the text that Jesus is the way of escape for you and for me in this area of temptation. Faith-based recovery programs are called faith-based because they have placed their faith, their confidence, their dependence in someone or something other than themselves. Many people go to faith-based programs, and the faith-based programs is 12 steps. So I'm going to do these 12 steps. And these 12 steps is what I'm going to trust in, I'm going to depend upon to help me with this problem. My friend, it is not 12 steps. It's Jesus Christ. He is the answer. Many people have placed confidence and faith in people. I know faith-based programs that you go to and you sit down around little round tables and you talk and you share your burdens and you share your uck and your muck and your yuck and the leader across the table says, oh, just give me all that. I'll take all that from you. I'll bear all that for you. You don't have to carry that anymore. I'll carry that for you. That's called codependency. That's the help that hurts. Our job is not to become the hero in this story. There's only one room for one hero in this story, and it's not you and it's not me. It's Him, Jesus Christ. He gets all the glory. And those programs fail miserably. Miserably. Jesus is the way of escape. The object of our faith must be Jesus Christ and Him alone. It must be, without a shadow of a doubt. Faith demands an object. And the object of our faith needs to always be only Jesus. That's our first core value in RU. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. I want to pray and then I want to help you today and tonight on the subject of Jesus, the way of escape. Father, would you help us today? Thank you. We can revel in Jesus Christ. We can reveal Him as the way with confidence. May we pause right here and seek your provision in our lives, in the areas of our lives that we struggle in, the areas of our lives where we're tempted in. And Lord, I know that we could give 24 hours of testimony in a room like this of how you've saved us from our sin and how you have delivered us from trials and tribulations and struggles. And the great glory could be given to you this morning, but somehow when we get into particular battle, the particular fight, I think we turn our attention to someone or something other than you. Would you breathe on us? Would you help us? I come to the throne room right now and I ask, Lord, in that place of power where you are, that dear God, if someone in the room is struggling with particular, not just things that they can see and hear and touch, but there's a open door to some demonic influences. Dear God, I pray that today be the day they be made free. Would you help us in Jesus' name? Amen. My father-in-law, Bobby Eaton, I love that man. He's in heaven now. He died a few years ago, but he's a preacher, but when I met Wendy, he was a truck driver, and he drove for Crete Truck Line, and I'll never forget he changed truck companies and moved to where I was a pastor in Lynchburg, Virginia. Brother Shelley knows that area well. I moved to Martinsville, Virginia. I'm sorry, and became a pastor there, Martinsville, and he changed trucking companies, and I'll never forget. We were talking, and he said, "Why don't you ride with me one of these nights?" And I said, "Well, we will, you know." And so I did. I carved it in my schedule, and I preached on all day Sunday and finished up Sunday night and jumped in the truck with him, and we took off. And we're headed across the country. We're on 76 going through Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Morgantown, Pennsylvania, that area. And a lot of hills, a lot of ups and downs. And I was sleeping, you know. I was crashed. And he woke me up about 3 o'clock in the morning or so, and he said, "Hey, wake up, I want to show you something." And I said, okay. And I woke up, and a few minutes later, we were going up and down hills, and he started telling me this story of how he was in a Creek truck, and he was on that road, these runaway ramps. You ever saw the runaway ramps on highways, particular areas where it's real hilly? They're called escape lanes. They're called emergency escape lanes or ramps. Or the official name is a truck arrestor bed. That's the official name for it. Because if you're headed down a hill and something's not right with your brake, something's not right with your vehicle, the idea is you get off. You're about a quarter of the way down, wherever they can find opportunity to create one of these beds that have crushed gravel and rock and things that are going to stop your truck. And in fact, you can't get the truck out of many of them. You have to get a wrecker to get you out. And so he woke me up to show me, because sure enough, we pulled the truck over to the side of the road and we walked over to the other side. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, you know, if this is a bad area. And sure enough, you could see trucks down in the bottom. They'd never been removed. And one time, my father-in-law had to hit that truck arrestor bed. He had to go up that ramp because he would have died. I mean, his brakes were going out and they wasn't working right. And it reminded me of the way of escape. We need those ways in our life when temptations come. In fact, there are three enemies every one of us faces in this room. We face the world, we face the flesh, and we face the devil. Let's say that together. Ready? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, two of those ways we're going to approach through one particular means of Christ. Two of those ways is the subject this morning. Tonight, the subject tonight is a completely different approach to Christ that gives us the way of escape. This morning we're going to talk about the way of escape concerning the world and the flesh. Oh, do we live in a unique world today? You know, I don't know that it's much different than the days of Noah. I don't know if it's much different than the days of Paul and the city of Corinth. Corinth was a terrible place. I mean, Corinth, I think when I read Corinth in the history books of Corinth, it was much like Las Vegas. It was much like L.A. It was much like, you know, that kind of a culture. A lot of slaves would go to Corinth to find freedom because if they were set free and they were starting a new life, they would go to Corinth because there was a lot of money there. There was a lot of opportunity there. There's a lot of religion there, different kinds of religions and things. And that's where Paul started the Church of Corinth. 18 months he spent there planting that church called the Church of Corinth. And so we approach things and we have battles and we have temptations that come from the world. I will tell you how that happens in just a little bit. But then we also have them from the flesh. That old part of us. On Friday night, I pulled out a little prop, this prop right here, and I opened it up, and I stuck half of it down on the floor, and I said, hey, that represents our life before Christ. Every one of us, we have a body, we have a soul, but spiritually we're dead. Spiritually we're alienated from God. Spiritually we're separated from God. Spiritually we have indwelling sin that has the master. You know who the master of sin is, don't you? The devil himself. And so those two things were joined together and influencing my spirit on the inside. But the moment that I got saved, Romans 6, we're going to be there in just a minute. Romans 6, that old dude died. Amen. He was removed. He was gone. And Jesus, God, put a brand new you and a brand new me inside of us to live. A new spirit. It's a gift from God. Amen. He put a brand new, Ephesians chapter 4 says that new spirit was created in righteousness and holiness. That new spirit was so holy that the Holy Spirit came and moved in. Amen. Amen. And he lives inside of you. That new spirit is where Jesus lives. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. I think it's right there. I think it's in your spirit. I think that's where this spiritual life came alive inside of you. And there's many passages about this spiritual life that God, he gave us access to all spiritual blessings the day we got saved. It was all dumped on us. Amen. What a Savior. Now, if I'm going to overcome the world, when I say the world, let me say it like this. There are causes that come into our life. I call them apparent causes. We have five senses. We can see, we can hear, we can touch, we can taste. Missing one. Smell, we can smell. Oh, I smell food right now too, by the way. But we can smell. And those five senses pick up what's going on in our world. All the advertisement of the world, all the advertisement of the world. Those five senses pick up those things. I think the enemy knows exactly what your weaknesses are. Before salvation, after salvation, it doesn't take rocket science to follow us to figure out what's going on. Doesn't take rocket science to follow us in dark places and places where nobody's watching and places where authority is not. It doesn't take long to surface the internet and go around and look at the pages and the history. I know you think you can delete them all, but my friend, you cannot delete them from him. So what does he do? He sets traps. He goes around and just sets traps all over the place. And they may be for you, they may be for me, but they're traps designed, set to ensnare not only the unsaved, but the saved. When I was a kid, my dad and I would build rabbit traps. Anybody ever built a rabbit trap? We built a box. That box was about that big on the front. And it was about that long. And it had a stick that went up here, and a stick here about a foot long, and had a stick that went over here, and then a string that went through a hole in the back of the box. And the rabbit would go in there after whatever we put in there. We put some food in there. The rabbit would go in there, his nose would touch that stick and knock that stick, and the door would come down on that trap. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody seen those before? And I used to love to catch rabbits like that, but I didn't like catching the skunks. That was not any fun when the possums and skunks got in those things in the wintertime. We set those traps, and we catch those varmints and catch those animals. And that's what the devil has done. It's apparent causes. He has set those things, and they're going to affect our sight, our ears, our hearing, our sound. They're going to affect our taste. They're going to influence us. They're going to. They're temptations. And how do we overcome those things? It's not a direct attack. He's not sitting there waiting on you. Oh, the devil made me do it. I think he set that trap months ago. You're not his concern. But he set that trap months ago in hopes that you would fall in as a roadblock to try to trap you, to try to stop you. I have a good friend, Roman Gray. He lives in Alaska, and he goes out on those trappings, and he's told me many times about some of the dangers and some of the times he was going to nearly lose his life because of the cold and all that stuff that he went through to set these traps and to go get the animals out of those traps that had been taken. And that's exactly what the devil does. Whether it's billboards or isolation or pictures or screens or there are many triggers, we call them in our youth. Those triggers get our attention and try to pull us right back into the negative, the physical realm, out of the spiritual realm, out of abiding in Christ. Because the goal is to abide in the spiritual, remain in the spiritual, dwell in the spiritual. But those apparent causes out there are designed to pull us away from that. So we can think in the soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, what I want to have, what I want to be, what I want to do. And so we see this in the scripture very, very clearly. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 6, and we'll finish this up. Romans chapter number 6. Because I want to give you three things that we must comprehend and understand here if we're going to see Jesus as the way of escape. Romans chapter number 6. Romans 6. There are three things in this passage, and this passage is really... It's really abiding in Christ. It's really dwelling, remaining in your salvation, in the gospel, in the work that God has done in you, is doing in you, and will do in you. It's a marvelous work. He who began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit-filled life, the crucified life lived inside and out. In fact, Romans chapter 7, when you get home, you ought to read Romans 7, because you know what Romans 7 is? It's Paul trying to do good in his own power. Trying to do good in his own strength, and he falls flat on his face. In fact, he ends Romans chapter 7. Let me show that to you real quick. Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What's the way of escape out of self-righteousness? What's the way out of escape out of self-indulgence? Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What is the answer? Jesus is the answer. He is the way of escape. The way that I stop abiding, dwelling, remaining in Him, one way I step off of that is self-indulgence. Because of the triggers of the world, because of the influence of the world around me and the fleshly things around me, He tries to get me to step out into self-indulgence. Do what I want to do, have what I want to have, be what I want to be. Or He gets me off of center, the center point of salvation. He gets me off into self-righteousness. That's me doing good in my own power. Oh, I'm doing good. I serve the Lord. I sing in the choir. I do this. Guess what? If you do those things without faith, it is called sin. Because the only way we can do anything, the only response we as humans can have to a holy God is faith. And faith has a work. But it's not you working. You're not the worker. He's the worker living inside of you. And it's you recognizing, oh God, I need you. I cannot do this without you. I am nothing without you. Live through me. Live your life through me. So Romans 6, there's some things we need to see. There's three things I'm going to show you, and we'll be done. Look, if you will, at the first one. Look at verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us... let me just start with verse 1 real quick. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us are baptized in Jesus Christ... were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of His death. We shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. There he is right over there. He's crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin anymore. Amen. He's gone. So here's what I want to say, the first thing. We've got to acknowledge the right facts. Because so many people are trying to find a way of escape for the world and the flesh in their own strength and in their own power or their own knowledge or their own whatever. And the very first thing we've got to do is acknowledge right facts. The renewing of your mind, that transformation process, is done by acknowledging right facts. Look at verse 3. Know ye... what's the next word? Know ye not? Wouldn't you say that has something to do with acknowledging the right facts? Stop and think about this. Know ye not? Look at verse 6. What's the first two words in verse 6? Knowing this. Wouldn't you agree that it has something to do with placing confidence and faith in the right thing? The right one? Look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more, death had no more dominion over Him. Well, we've got to acknowledge the right facts. Amen? our song leader, I found out he serves in the police department. Thank you for doing that, and all those who serve. As an American citizen, apologize for the garbage you've gone through recently, and thank God for your service. Let's think about a police officer who pulled this car over on the major interstate going 22 miles an hour down the road. 22 miles an hour, and it's a highway, and real slow, dangerously slow, and he pulls this car over. It's an elderly woman, and she's sitting in the front seat, and there are three other elderly women in the car, one in the driver's seat and two in the back, and they pull up, and the officer comes up and says, "Ma'am, could I see your license and registration?" "Yes, sir, officer, I'll find it." "Yes, sir, yes, sir." "Ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over?" And she said, no, sir, I know I wasn't speeding." "Oh, no, sir, ma'am, you were not speeding, that's for sure. You were going 22 miles an hour. And this is a 75 mile an hour road." "Oh, no, sir, the sign back there said 22. Route 20 is 22, and..." "No, ma'am, that's the route number. That's not the speed limit sign." And boy, he began to realize what happened. So he looked at these other ladies in the car, and he says, "Ladies, are you guys okay in here? Is everything all right in the car?" And one of the ladies in the front seat spoke up and said, "Oh, yes, sir, we're fine. We just got off Route 101. We'll be all right in a little bit." we'll be fine. You see how confusing, if you get confused by things, where it can lead you, the mess you can get in. I'm telling you, you're going to find a mess if you're trying to make the way of escape 12 steps. You're going to find a mess if you try to make the way of escape your husband or your wife or your children or your grandchildren or what you know. You better know what he knows, and you better make sure that what you know a lot about him. Amen? Because he is the way of escape. With all confidence, you've got to believe that. He's the way of escape. So we have to know the right facts. We have to acknowledge the right facts. Number two, let me say it this way. We've got to account the right facts. It's not enough just to know them. We've got to account them to me. That's for me. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, there's many words in the Bible. We shared this yesterday briefly. There's a word in the Bible called, it's a Greek word called logos. Logos means the entire Bible. Every single word of it written is called logos. The whole word, the whole Bible. But did you know there's another word in the Bible? It's the word rhema, the rhema word of the Bible. The rhema is not all of it, it's one part of it, but it's the one that God gave for you. It's a specific word for you. You said, "Brother Brooks, how do I get a specific word from God?" You get it by faith. That's the only way we get anything from God, is by faith. We believe that God has a word for us. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That word is not logos, it's rhema. God's got an every word for you today. Did you get up this morning and get it? By faith, did you study the scripture? Did you listen to the inside persuasion of the Spirit of God in Jesus Christ? In fact, I can show you in John 14 and 15 that not only does the Holy Spirit live in you, and not only does Jesus live in you, but God lives in you. Amen. You got access to the Trinity in you. And He wants to communicate to your mind, your will, your emotions. And as you're reading the scriptures, I like Bible plans. I like a little bit of encouragement to get through the Bible, but somewhere in all that, you better slow down and listen to Him. He wants to talk to you through this Word. He's got something in it for you today. And so you read it, and you reread it, and you pause, and you're like, "What does that mean?" And then you look up words. You don't understand, because words mean things. This is the King James Bible, and our material is written in the King James Bible, and I think your church pulpit Bible is the King James Bible, and I think churches ought not fight over it. I think we ought to just keep fighting with it. We got to get this in people's hearts and minds. We find the Word to encourage them in the Word. And so as we find the right facts, we have to acknowledge that. Look at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. You know, the moment of salvation, that place we were in unity and union with the Godhead, with Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that very moment when that dude died and this one came alive inside of me, regened, recreated. Amen. Look at, don't turn there, but Romans 15 says it this way, verse 27, it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things. Hebrews 3 says, for we are made partakers of Christ. We're saved. We're brought into His history. We're brought into His righteousness. We're brought into His past. We're brought into His future. He exchanged it. He took my life and gave me His life. Amen. Now you got to believe that. You've got to believe that's true. The death, the burial, the resurrection, that moment. Look at verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Because as you abide in Him, and He abides in you, He's going to tell you what to do. He's going to guide you through His Word. He's going to guide you through leadership. He's going to not only just guide you, but He's going to enable you. He's going to give you His power to accomplish His will. It's going to be Spirit enablement. He initiates all things that are good. Every gift from God is good. And He initiates all to you and to me. And by faith we say, so let me say it this way. Everything to do with the world and the flesh, the way we learn to overcome that is two words. Ready? Thank you. He's already given it to you, folks. He gave you His life. He gave you redemption. He gave you salvation. He gave you the power of God unto salvation. He gave you sanctification. He already gave you glorification. It's on the way. Guaranteed. And we as Christians ought to be just walking around saying thank you. When temptation comes our way, as we're walking down life's road and we see temptation, we start thinking about what He's given me. Thinking about who I am in Christ. I'm a child of the King. I'm adopted into His family. The Lord's on my side. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Amen. And we can just say, thank you. And keep on going for the Lord. And the next temptation comes. And the next trial comes. And the next difficulty comes. And how do you... I saw a guy in my travels this week that had a shirt complaining about COVID and complaining about... Oh, it was a shirt that said, cancer sucks. I think it'd be a whole lot better if you just put cancer, thank you. Right. God's got a purpose in all this. We've got to think that away. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. He has given everything for you and me. Amen? He gave His life. And we overcome this by acknowledging the right facts and accounting those facts. He did that for me. He gave me His power. He gave me His strength. I can live His life through me. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that the old man, our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That word rendered means to, might be destroyed. That word destroyed means to render powerless, to render useless, to render ineffective. So that temptation that seems so strong in your life, why don't you just take that verse and say, thank you, Lord. Because you just rendered that ineffective in my life. I don't need that. I just need you. Amen? Amen. I don't need that cigarette. I don't need that scratch ticket. I don't need that enjoyment of entertainment. I just simply need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour of every day, I need you. There's a third thing that I want to highlight. Is we have to act on that which has been accounted to us. Look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon, that word reckon is an accounting word. It's an accounting word. I mean, when you add it all up, I'm not talking about all this layover. You wonder, what is all this? Oh, that's the old ways of thinking. That's the old you that was left behind. When that dude left, he left his garbage on both sides of your life. And the Bible says you got to reckon some things. That's a southern word. Amen? You got to reckon some things. I'm dead indeed unto sin, but I am alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What am I saying? I'm saying you've got to count the right facts. You've got to acknowledge the right facts and account the right facts. And then thirdly, we must get to this place where in the accounting that we are moving forward by faith based upon who Christ said that I am and who I believe Him to be. Because He is the way of the escape over the world and the flesh. And it's not that you need to get on your knees and pray and beg God and, oh, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to get better next time. I'm going to do it better next time. Nope. You missed it. You missed it. You confess sin if you've done wrong. But when temptation comes, that's not sin. When temptation comes, you need to remember the way of escape is Jesus Christ. And you need to remember Romans 6 and other verses like it. And just with a smile say, thank you. Thank you for all you've done for me. I reckon to be dead indeed unto sin. I don't have to sin today. I do not have to do wrong now. Based on what? Based on Him. Based on His words. Ha, that's Him. This is what He said to me. I see that now, and I take that as mine. He said that to me. And you might have to say it out loud in that temptation moment. I am dead indeed unto sin. But thank you, God, I am alive unto you. Amen? And you account that to you, and then you take those right steps in the right direction, believing, God, that this was for you. It's an accounting term. There's another word you could use. It's like corrective. It's a corrective term. Like these are corrective lenses. I can't see faces whether you're smiling or laughing on the back row there. But if I put these on, oh, thank you. I can see now. I can clearly see now. They're corrective. And boy, when we get in this book right here and we see things from the way God sees things, we can say, thank you, thank you. And it's almost like, hey, would you give me my glasses over there? And I put them on and say, thank you. Because I can see now. I can clearly see now. The devil's a deceiver. The devil's a liar. And we have to learn to account the right, we have to learn to acknowledge the right facts, account the right facts, and then we have to act on it. Not in our own strength, not in our own power, but in His power. Romans 12 says it this way, by the renewing of our mind. I'm going to close with this illustration. I took our family years ago to Disney World, and I've never gotten sick on roller coasters and stuff like that. In fact, the first time I got sick was at Disney World on a ride. We were on a ride called Soarin'. And Soarin's a ride that you walk into this building, an air-conditioned building, and everybody's at a different level. There's like 12 levels, and you're waiting in line, and you walk up steps, and our family was on this line, and the gates opened up, and we walk onto this ride, and we sit down, and a thing comes across our bodies, and then the lights come on. There's a big screen in front of us, and it's called Soarin'. And so if you feel like The ride makes you feel like you're in a helicopter or you're in an airplane or you're riding down the ski slope on skis and different things like that. And some of those images, I mean, I was in an air-conditioned building, but they had wind blowing in my face and they had manipulated things around me to make me feel like I'm on a ski slope and I'm going over a mountain and I'm going to die, you know? And I got sick. The lady in front of me got sick, or the ladies down below me got sick because they said some words to me that indicated they were sick after I threw up on them. I was sick. I still even, my wife says, honey, stop looking at the screen. Look at the floor. I said, okay. So I looked at the floor, and sure enough, I got better. I was fine. I mean, everybody, I'm down looking at them, I'm looking at the floor, things settle down, and then I look back at the screen. And I get sick again. It does matter what you look at, folks. It does matter what you believe. Belief does determine behavior. I know whom I believed in. And I'm persuaded that He is able. God can do anything but fail. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe it in those temptation moments? We are more than conquerors. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. He's with you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Brother Brooks, wait a minute. Is faith the victory or victory in Jesus? Which one is it? Well, it's both. Because faith demands an object, and the object is only one. His name is Jesus Christ. You won't want to miss tonight. We're going to talk about the world, the flesh this morning. Tonight we're going to talk about the devil. The world and the flesh is overcome with Christ in you. All that was brought to you the moment that Christ, with all the benefits, all the blessings, all the power, when Christ came to live inside of you. But you do not face spiritual warfare in that manner. Come tonight to find out how you do. Let's stand together, every head bowed, every eye closed. I did not preach a salvation type invitation this morning, but I want to tell you, if you're without Christ, there is no way of escape other than through Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do to get rid of your sins. There's no catechism, there's no works that you can accomplish that will remove your sins from your life. And don't play and act like you don't have them, you do. The only one that can remove sins is the only Savior that's available to do that. His name is Jesus Christ. In July 5th, 1976 was the day I called on Him to save me. And I have been saved 45 years this year by His marvelous grace. It was a life-altering time. It was a moment I'll never forget. By the way, if you've had one like that, I think you'll remember it. If you've had one like that, maybe you can't remember the exact place like I can, but you ought to be able to remember when you met Jesus. I think He makes a lasting impression on your life. If you don't have one of those days, would you please make today your day? You're amongst cheerleaders here. You're amongst the church family that would love, no matter what the occasion, no matter why you're not saved, it doesn't matter. We would rejoice in your salvation. Nothing is more important. Maybe you're here today and you're saved, but you're falling into temptation. You're not getting victory over some stubborn habit or sin. I hope I convinced you this morning. Jesus is your way of escape. Heavenly Father, would you move mightily in the invitation time? Last hour, I talked about people that we give up on that you want to change. And we feel like they'll never change. And Lord, I gave a plea in Sunday school, and I'll give a plea now, that if there are people in the room like that, that they will come to this altar and they will switch what they believe. Because with God, all things are possible. And would you help us? Would you see the actions of moms, dads, brothers, and sisters who have sort of just put it out of their mind and whatever, whatever, because they don't have any confidence that person will ever change. Oh God, please see our faith this morning and begin that work in that person because of the faith of somebody in this room. I know I'm going to be at the altar for somebody I'm praying for. Would you see our faith this morning? And will we use this faith in our lives daily? In Jesus' name we pray. As the instruments play, as Pastor